I'm Ron Huber, and you're listening to the Penobscot Bay Report, October 18, 2007. Right now, we're going to take a look at a grim part of our past, when Europeans created the first species extinction in North America by Europeans. That was the destruction of what we call the Great Auk, but was called the Penguin back in those times. This is from a book called Newfound Land by Farley Mowat, Canadian naturalist writer.
Farley Mowat's The Newfound Land, Personal Voyage of Discovery. Look now at Newfoundland before Europe began to cast its shadow over the New World. A little cluster of men gathers in darkness beside two bark canoes drawn up on a stony beach on the west coast of the Great Island. They peer earnestly into the pre-dawn sky. Slowly, the light strengthens, revealing a few tendrils of high cloud in the western dome. There is no threat of wind. The men smile their satisfaction at one another and at the tall, tawny one who leads them on this June day. As they wade into the land wash, carefully holding their fragile craft clear of the kelp-slimed rocks, the sun explodes over the hills behind them. On the sea horizon, a string of looming shadows begins to take on the contours of a low-lying archipelago. Aimless cat's paws riffle the water as the canoes drive out from land toward distant islands, leaving the scattered tents of the people to dwindle into insignificance against the somber wall of forest. In the full glare of morning, the offshore islands become haloed with a glittering haze of flashing wings as their inhabitants depart to begin the day's fishing. Phalanx after phalanx of arrow-swift moors and puffins fill the air with their rush and rustle. Above them, massed echelons of snowy gannets row steadily on black-tipped wings. Terns, kittiwakes, larger gulls fly arabesques betwixt and between, till the sky seems everywhere alive with flight. The sea through which the canoes ease is living, too. Endless flotillas of the big black-and-white diver ducks that fly in water instead of air stream outward from the low-flying islands. The first flock comes porpoising past the canoes. The men cease paddling, and their leader touches a bone amulet hanging around his neck, upon which is carved an image of the spear-billed bird. The spear-billed bird. The morning is half spent, half of the paddlers close with the island of their choice. Now, the multitudes of birds that have remained on it to incubate their eggs or brood their young begin to take alarm. Soon they are rising in such numbers the sky is obscured as if by a blizzard. So vast is this airborne armada, the sun's light is dimmed, the surface of the sea hisses from the rain of droppings falling into it. As the canoe approaches the island, winged masses descend on them like the funnel of a tornado. The rush of air through stiffened pinions, the harsh clangor of bird cries, makes it hard for the men to hear each other's shouts as they leap overside and carry the canoes to safety on the sloping rocks, the foreshore. They move with hunched shoulders, as if cringing under the weight of furious life above and around them. Not 20 feet from the landing place, rank after serried rank of spearbills stand. So closely packed they seem almost shoulder to shoulder to... An army of occupation, hundreds of thousands strong, covers almost the entire surface, the mile-long island. Each individual bird is incubating a single enormous egg in the shallow depression in the stinking mass of guano that everywhere overlies the ancient rock. The birds nearest the intruders turn as one to face the threat, bodies erect and fearsome beaks thrust out. The men move warily, each holding his long, pointed paddle before him like a lance. The leader pauses, fingers his amulet again, and, in a voice barely audible above the shrieking hubbub, shouts an apology for what he and his companions are about to do. Abruptly, the paddles become flails. At the first thud of wood on bone and flesh, the foremost ranks of spearbills begin to break and fall back, each bird stumbling clumsily into those behind. Confused by the crush, those in the rear strike angrily at neighbors who are being pushed across the invisible boundaries of each one's tiny territory. Defensive territory becomes a more pressing issue than defense against the human intruders. Chaos ripples through the massed battalions. While some of the men continue flailing at the nearest birds, they killed 3 or 4 dozen, the rest hurriedly fill sealskin shoulder bags with eggs. Not 10 minutes after landing, they begin their retreat, dragging the slain birds by their necks, pumping the heavy bags of eggs to the beached canoes. Loading and launching are done with the urgency of thieves. Each man seizes his paddle and Half deafened by the noise, half choked by the almost palpable stench, he flees as if pursued by devils. None looks back at the pandemonium still sweeping the island of birds. Well, that vignette is set at the Port au Choix Peninsula, which juts out from the west coast of Newfoundland into the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Now here, archaeologists have been sifting through the rich remnants of remains of a series of Aboriginal cultures, Eskimo and an archaic Indian, that drew heavily upon the sea for sustenance over a stretch of several thousand years. The reliance of these ancient peoples on the spearbill, in particular, is revealed by the great quantities of spearbill bones uncovered in middens, in living sites, even in graves. One Indian grave alone yielded more than 200 mandibles, while another contained the image of a spearbill incised on stone. Nevertheless, those early peoples were never in danger of eating themselves out of house and home by levying too heavy a toll. They took no more than they needed. For the result that when Europeans arrived on the scene, they found spearbill rookeries thriving all along the eastern coast of North America, from Labrador to Cape Cod, but nowhere were they more numerous and densely populated than off the coasts of Newfoundland. In 1535, Jacques Cartier undertook an expedition to determine the commercial potential of the New World and stopped at the Island of Birds, as they called it, where another, but astonished chronicler had this to say: "This island is so exceedingly full of birds that all the ships of France might load a cargo of them without anyone noticing that any had been removed. We took away two barkloads to add to our stores." So reads the earliest surviving record of an encounter between Europeans and spearbills, or the great auk in America. But it was assuredly not the first encounter, because not far away was Funk Island. Initially, birds of a dozen or more species crowded these islands. However, most were good flyers and nested on ledges and cliff faces where their young and their eggs were hard to reach. The adults would take to wing of the approach, could only be waste a lot of gunpowder and shot getting them. So the main weight of European predation fell upon the flightless spearbill, the great auk. They called it the penguin, especially attractive because of its large, fat, well-muscled carcass. Its eggs, too, were preferred above all others, not only because of their great size, but because they were so easily collected. There was no question about it. As long as it lasted, the spearbill was the best buy in the shop. But Captain Anthony Parkhurst wrote about them. "At an island named Penguin, we may drive them on a plank directly into our ship. As many as will later, there's more meat on one of them than on a goose. The fishermen that fish near the Grand Bay do but bring small store of meat with them, but victual themselves always with the birds." Courtemanche, writing in 1705 about the north shore of the Gulf, describes the rookeries there and adds, "For a whole month they slaughter them with iron-tipped clubs in such quantity, it is an incredible thing." In the early 18th century, as guns and powder became cheaper and more available, the seabird slaughter took on a new dimension. The birds fly by in swarms to go to their laying in spring on the Bird Islands. At this time, there is such prodigious carnage, we shot up to 1,000 gunshots every day. Now, the carnage resulting from this gunning of adult birds in passage to and from the rookeries grew with the passing centuries. Late as 1900, punt gunners shooting on a single day, quote, "half a boatload to be about 400 or 500 eiders, scoters, puffins, murrays, gulls, etc." Now, things began to change as rapid growth happened. Eggs then became a target. Egging became a profitable business. Professional eggers began to ransack the coast, denuding every rookery they could find. By 1780, American eggers had so savaged the bird islands along the east coast of the U.S. they could no longer supply the burgeoning demand from cities like Boston, New York. Consequently, the export of seabird eggs became a profitable business for the British colonies to the north. For, as to be expected, the spearbill was the foremost victim this time. One person described this: "If you go to the Funks for eggs, to be certain of getting them fresh, you pursue the following rule. You drive, knock, and shove the poor penguins into heaps. You then scrape all their eggs into dumps in the same manner you would a heap of apples in an orchard. These eggs, from being dropped for some time, are stale and useless, but you having cleared a space of ground, retire for a day or two, at the end of which you'll find plenty of new-laid eggs, fresh for certain." A Britisher wrote, "What must have been the multitudes of birds in former years, this lonely island? Now, since the white fishermen began to plunder, it has changed. Today, but for the Arctic terns and the puffins, the island may be said to be deserted. Although 16 barrels of murres and razorbill eggs have been known to be gathered at a time, we did not see a single egg." They then realized that they could boil the birds for oil, and just like whale oil or seal oil. So this led to another slaughter. They'd be even thrown in alive to boil. This was a terrible time for all of us, and we got a lot of bad karma wiping out that bird, that's for sure. Thank you.